This is the Sean Salisbury Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's the Benchwarmers and Sean Salisbury.
All right, he's analyst at Pac-12 Network, best conference in the country. I see a little throw in there for us Trojans. Longtime NFL player, one of the best safeties on the planet, former first-round draft pick. Spent many years with the Bears and the Lions. Also has coached as an assistant coach in the NFL, one of the real good people. And if you crossed his face, you got knocked out. Mark Carrier joins us here on BN Sports and the Sean Salisbury Show. Mark, what's up, Trojan? How you doing, bud?
My fellow brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, and I'm so happy to have you.
I love the title Benchwarmer, knowing who you were, Sean, in your career time during the playing days.
That's exactly. There you go. It's good to have you on, my man. We appreciate you. Let me start with this. You remember your draft day experience, and not just that day, Mark, but what these kids are going through leading up and all the expectations. Do you remember what the week or two before was, what it felt like?
Yeah, gosh, it's a while ago, but I do remember, I mean, the anxiety of, you know, the unknown. I mean, just that alone, and, you know, obviously wasn't built up. You know, you came out before a couple years before me, and what it is now compared to when we came out. I mean, you just didn't know. I mean, the only person really knew was that the guy going maybe first or second. That was it. Everybody else was a crapshoot. So, but leading up into that time, I remember I was in Los Angeles and Long Beach preparing with my family, and it was just, you know, I kind of had some ideas where I could, but there was no guarantee. There was nothing there in etched in stone that could happen, and you just knew. And here I was, a 21-year-old growing up in Southern California, and within a matter of days, I was going to be on a plane going to somewhere, parts unknown, maybe I've never been to.
All right, if you're talking to the safeties in this draft, or any draft, two things I want to know. One is, what's your number one trait on the field they must have? And when they walk in and look at you face-to-face, what are you trying to find out about safeties as football players and people, Mark?
That's a good question. Well, when I sit there and watch film, I sit there and watch it over and over. I watch it a bunch of times because as a player, and you're a former player, you try to just get a sense of what they're thinking, their feel of the game, and all that. And then I go back and then I'll start making little notes and making cut-ups and start doing things. And when I look at safeties, I want to see instinctive. Do they see things instinctive? There's always going to be mistakes and all that, but you know, I just want to see how to do what type of plays they make and how instinctive they are and the things they react to as it's happening. Range, you know, how much ground can they cover? You know, when you put on a film, do they look like they're running faster than the people, other people on the field? And good tacklers, I mean, you got to be a solid in the open field. You got to be a solid tackler and things like that. And then from a mental standpoint, an intellectual standpoint, that comes when you go to the one-on-ones and to the interviews, like at the combine, and you go to school for the pro day and sitting down and talking to them. And then seeing, you know, how much they grasp the system, how much they understand that when you talk to them and how much they can explain what they're doing. Not necessarily what I'm doing, that'll come, but to sit there and to see how they explain their team and what they're doing and their schemes and what they're looking for when you watch film and different things. And so I look for one from a physical standpoint, and the next thing is from a mental standpoint. So, and then when they, kind of what you said, when you come in, when they walk into the building, you know, what's their presence in the building? Do they feel intimidated? Do they feel, I mean, it's new. There's some guys come with the mindset that, you know, hey, I deserve to be here. And there's other guys happy to be here. But just how they get along, how they interject, how they get intertwined with the players who are there. You know, do they feel like? So you just kind of watch a little different things of how they handle themselves.
Longtime NFL veteran, former first-round pick Mark Carrier, USC Trojan, joins us here on BN Sports. Mark, one more question about the safeties. You know, this day game's different than when both you and I broke in with spread offenses and, you know, nickel and dime packages where you're playing it the whole time. I'm going to give you one with a safety, whether it's Fitzpatrick or Derwin James, but I'm going to give you one trait. They either got to be able to cover or you want a guy that can hit. You don't get both, so I'm going to give you get to choose one. In this day and age, what kind of player you want, a hitter or a cover guy at safety?
at safety, the way to, I mean, Greg, the way the game has evolved, it's you got to be able to cover. You just got to be able to cover now, because the way the game has evolved and the rules that they've started implementing and how the game has changed since even before you and I even got into this game, where almost and how they're taking the hitting kind of out of it as a big play, as an intimidator, because it can be so detrimental and harmful to the player and to his team that, you know, you don't want somebody who's going to be a wuss, who's going to turn down anything. But, man, now the way the game is being governed, man, hitting can be detrimental or it can be very punishing to you as a player. But the way the game is spread and how even NFL now, they acclimate with these new quarterbacks to get them on the field faster with the spread offense. You want somebody who can sit up there and line up and cover his slot, because you can't change. They go with these hurry-up offense, so you can't get guys on off the field. So you got to have a guy who can be able to if you want to play more scheme, in the diverse of your scheme, meaning not just zone and man, you got to have a guy who can cover some ground and can cover receivers as well as tight ends. So that's, I would have to say, cover.
Okay, you're staring at the corner as a safety, and you're looking at a teammate. So instead of getting to the trait that I was going to talk about, there's a couple guys in this draft, you know, like an undersized but fast make-up ground Denzel Ward type of guy, or a Josh Jackson at Iowa, who's a big cover guy but a little longer. Which one of those guys do you want? The physical cover guy? I mean, the physical ball hawk that catches everything, or the make-up speed smaller guy who can run all over the field?
Well, there's always an old saying, Sean, and you probably heard this, or don't have talked to this. You've been around football and covered for years. You always take the bigger athlete, because the game is so, it's a size and speed. It's a size and speed game. But that about saying is interesting. You brought up those two players, especially when you bring up the young man from Iowa. You know, the one thing we always talked about when you always recruited guys, I remember I had a guy when I was early with the Bengals coaching, and they wanted to bring a guy, his kid in, and I was always leery of Iowa DBs. And reason why is because, and they've changed a little bit, but they're so used to, and they were good at it. They're used to playing one way, one scheme all the time at Iowa, and they got very good at it. It just was hard to translate that when they came into the NFL, because they were so used to doing and comparing one way and saying one thing that they had a hard time struggling to acclimate to other schemes. Now, that was that player. That doesn't mean Jackson will be the same way, but I was always leery of Iowa DBs because, and you go around, you look today, and even in your time, there weren't many Iowa DBs in the NFL, because what they did didn't always translate to what they did in college didn't always translate well to the NFL. Just a little side note.
All right, Mark, what's the hardest thing? Heck, you've been a top-flight player in the league, an all-pro. You played for more than a decade, and then you transitioned to coaching. We hear it all the time. We all have our speculation. What's the toughest part about coaching in the NFL?
Wow, that's a good question. The toughest thing, you know, what I've learned from coaching, and, you know, everybody, I know you've been around everybody, well, since you were a former player, it should be easy. And that's such a misnomer. Being a part of a former player just gives you insight on what the players might be going through. But with the day and age and with these players, if you can't get the player to trust you, to believe in what you're telling them, then they ain't going to listen to you, because they figure, hey, you'll be gone before they will, especially, you know, the higher your pick or the more money you make, and they realize that. So that's the thing I've learned with these players and their coaching this time, my time or being around, is communication and developing trust and developing that relationship with the players, because they've got to buy in. They think you can help them and get better and achieve greatness and get them paid, and they'll listen to you day and night. If they don't think you're doing anything for them, you're going to help them to make be better, then they'll just, you know, they'll do what they have to do, but they won't want to wall with you. So it's be able to communicate and get the players to trust you, and then to get them to understand and see things on film that they might not be seeing, because, you know, with this day and age with these young kids, there's a sense of entitlement. There really is. They think that it's because they're getting paid or they're on TV that they've made it, and that's it. They don't have to do more. But the great ones learn how to keep evolving as the game going, and you've got to get them to believe that, see that, and to watch that on film and develop that. And once they realize that they still have to keep growing and get better, then you've got a good matchup.
Who, whether it was as a player or when you were an assistant coach, who impacted you the most as a coach? Who made the biggest impact on your life and your career?
I have to start with one, and you know him as probably as well as I do because you know his brother, and that has to be Dennis Thurman, because Dennis was awesome. The one who brought me into Baltimore, and he and I always talked, and obviously you know Junior, his brother, and we played together, and Junior and I are good friends as you are. But DT doesn't get enough recognition of his knowledge of the game. He's the one that sat and taught me the game behind the game. There's a game of, you know, X's and O's and all that everybody knows, but there's another part of the game that, okay, once you get the X and O's part, is to be able to make adjustments and on the fly and get players to change what they initially had thought, but teams had realized they figured you out, and you got to be able to do that. And Dennis was the one that taught me that.
If you're the Browns, who do you draft, Mark? Who would you take?
Well, it's great question. I love Saquon Barkley. I think he is special. I think the Giants take him. So who's sitting right behind you? But I I'm biased, and I don't care because I've got a chance to see all these quarterbacks at times. I think Sam Darnold's the best quarterback in the draft, and yes, he's an SC guy, and so be it. He throws interceptions, but so did Brett Favre, and look, what did we say about him?
Turned out okay for him, didn't it, Mark?
Yeah. I've been a part of a lot of his losses in this game. So, you know, it's Mark. If I'm Cleveland, I'm you. I take Darnold because obviously the quarterback is such a big part of this game, and you hope that the Giants don't take Saquon Barkley, because if you're sitting there at four, you've got two pretty good players.
You've answered the question about the adjustment and how players, high college players, think, and that there's a sense of entitlement. So let me move on to my final question before we let you go. Is with the way you, as physical as you were, and you kind of hit on it earlier, but I want to hit this more. As physical as you were with these current rules, could you have been as successful now as you were then?
Yeah, because like any player and all great players, and I'm not categorizing me that, but it's like anything else, you evolve.
Right.
I mean, remember when when you got to SC, you came after, you know, the Dennis Smiths and the Ronnie Lotz and those guys and certain players, and they were, you know, everybody was killing, you know, they were cute. These guys are Hall of Fame guys because they did that.
Right.
And, but then when I came in trying to duplicate that like they did at SC and everything, the game started to change, started evolving, started to get, you know, you were getting punished. At first it was just you getting punished. Now it's you and your team getting punished. So if you want to stay, and like all good players, you have to evolve. And I have no problem. I would have evolved the same way. I just blame Ronnie Lott for him. I just put it all on Ronnie. Said, thanks a lot. You're in the Hall of Fame, and I get crucified for trying to do what you did.
Taking money out of your pocket. Yes, you would have evolved because smart football player and the ability to adjust on the fly, and you did it as well as anybody, not only at SC, but for a long time in the NFL. I love you, man. It's always great to have you on, and let's do this again. And you're always welcome on this show. We appreciate you coming on, Mark.
Oh, man, always great. Great to hear from you, brother. I'm glad you're doing well. You're always the best. One of the best. You always treated me well. I appreciate you.
You're the best. I appreciate you, Mark. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
That's the great Mark Carrier. And I'm telling you, he talks about Ronnie. Guys, he was – Segs, you're a Chicago Bear guy. Let me tell you something now. He'd take your chin and stick it through the back of your head. This guy was – and he talked about Dennis Smith and Ronnie Lott. Dennis, who was a Denver Bronco, and Ronnie. Those guys set the tone. And then Joey Browner, and then Tim McDonald, and then Mark Carrier, and the list went on and on and on, all the way to the Taylor Mazes of the world. I'm telling you, that dude had blatant disregard for his body, like all great safeties do, because you hit anything that had an opposite-colored jersey, and some of those guys would hit their own guy if he was in their way. Yep. So the great Mark Carrier, you can catch him. I think saves at Mark Carrier 20 on Twitter. That's Carrier, the great Mark Carrier. All right, it's the Sean Salisbury Show.